Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. Welcome back to the show, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Is gold looking really shiny right now?
Gold is looking shiny. Silver's looking shinier. And I'm not saying that from recent price action where I believe gold has outperformed silver, but from the kind of setup we are seeing right now. Now, let me be clear. I'm positive on both metals right now. There's a lot going on. Basically, a lot has to do with like China coming back to the market, stuff like that. The fact that, you know, it just takes so much time and effort to build a new gold mine, and these companies haven't been rewarded for that in a long, long time. So the number of people willing to do that is quite low, which leads to a downtrend in, you know, global production eventually. And that's kind of what we're seeing. I mean, in the good old days, global gold production rose on average 1.8% a year. That stopped in 2020 when gold supply fell 4% year over year, and it's still flat. We've hit the peak in gold. Silver, we peaked in like global silver production 7 years ago. So I just saw some new numbers from the Silver Institute, and we had a deficit of 237.7 million ounces last year. We saw the demand for silver surge last year to up 18% to 1.22 billion ounces. For the last few years, we've been eating up global stockpiles, and yes, there is more silver above ground. You know, it's not like we're going to run out tomorrow, but the squeeze is on. So I think people should be looking at both gold and silver stocks and seeing what they want to own right now.
So production is falling behind demand. That usually means much higher prices. Why haven't gold and silver gone up more than they have then?
Well, they have gone up. Not as much as we'd like, of course. There's a bunch of reasons for that. Part of it is that we saw interest rates climb, and interest rates went up because we thought all the banks were going to fail, which probably isn't going to happen now, so less worried about that. But, you know, I mean, that kind of weighs on precious metals, because precious metals have no yield, but suddenly you can get U.S. Treasuries with very nice yield. And so that was kind of weighing on it. But, and also, we had a strong dollar. Now, we saw the dollar strong for a bunch of reasons, part of which is that the U.S. Federal Reserve kept raising its benchmark interest rate, you know, and so as we do that, you get more yield on the dollar. And again, since gold has no yield, that kind of pushes it down. But we believe that the Fed is near the end of its interest rate hiking cycle. Its next meeting is May 2nd and 3rd. It's certainly going to hike then. It may hike in June when it meets after that. But after that, people are starting to anticipate we are going to see an end to the interest rate hikes. It doesn't mean we'll start cutting. I know that the market has priced in a lot of cuts between now and the end of the year, four of them, in fact. I don't think we'll see that. But I think that if they stop and then gradually start to cut, that's when we see gold really start to blast off next. Now, there are people who are worried about a recession out there. And if we have a recession, then the Fed will have to start cutting fast and furiously. I'm not convinced we are going to have a recession. After all, I will tell you about this. And when I say have a recession, I mean within the next quarter. Because you'll remember, I think it was back in early 2021, everyone was sure that we were going to have a recession by the end of 2021. We didn't. We didn't have a recession all through 2022. We haven't had a recession now. So in the next quarter, are we going to have a recession? I'm pretty sure we aren't. And so that's one reason I don't see think we're going to have the cuts in the Fed's benchmark interest rate the way that people seem to be anticipating. However, there are plenty of reasons for gold to go higher. I mean, there's also the fear trade. You know, that's when investors buy mostly safe assets to ride out economic turmoil. So we have a conflict coming up in the U.S. Congress called the debt ceiling. It's a crisis. And so the Republicans keep trying one plan after another because they want to include spending cuts just as a trade for a higher debt ceiling. And the Democrats have said, no, we can raise taxes on rich people, something like that, but no. And so there's this real conflict coming up in Congress. And the last time we had that, I mean, a real conflict. There are stare downs now and then. The last time we had a real conflict was 2011. And what happened in 2011 when we had the debt ceiling crisis then? That's when gold hit its then all-time high, which at the time was $1,920 an ounce. Now, they moved up when the debt ceiling crisis will be. It was supposed to be in August. Now they're thinking maybe June 30th. They're not sure. But that means that there is a crisis coming around the corner, so we are going to have to worry about that. And I also expect the U.S. dollar to decline, simply because we are going to come to the end of the Fed rate hike. And so we'll also see lower bond yields. These three things are the three short-term things which will happen within the next few months that'll probably light a fire under gold. There are longer-term forces, and I think you and I have talked about those many times, like lack of new discoveries, lower supply, higher demand, all that stuff. Purchases by the central banks. They just hit a new record last year, and they keep buying. They added another 77 metric tons in January and 52 metric tons in February. Central banks are buying gold like crazy. Maybe they know something we don't. So there's a whole bunch of reasons that I think will push precious metals higher, and I think we're at the cusp of the next big move.
We'll have more with Sean Broderick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Broderick. Sean, what do you think is going to happen with crude?
Crude's a bit disappointing. We saw that news that excited the market and actually pushed crude higher. That OPEC Plus was going to cut by more than 8 million barrels. But what they're cutting from is their production target, which they haven't hit in, I think, well over a year. So it's not as big of a cut as people think. And there's widespread, I don't know if you want to call it evidence or rumors. What's the mix of those two words? I can't think of one. Anyway, that Russia is cheating a lot more than it's letting on. And so these things are kind of have weight on crude in the short term. So we've got that boost from the announced cut from OPEC, but then after that people saying, wait a minute, things aren't that dire. Well, the latest news, which is not being priced in by the market at all right now, is that exports of diesel and gasoline from China are really dropping off the charts right now, because they're using a lot more of it. Their economy is kicking back into gear. So not only does there be less products supplied by China, but probably Chinese imports of crude are about to go higher. So I see this pullback as, you know, it's like, you know, annoying, but as long as I'm being paid big fat, like dividends by the companies I own, the oil companies I own, I don't care that much. It could put, pull back down to maybe 75.50 where it gapped higher. I'm speaking about U.S., West Texas Intermediate, by the way. There's different measures of what is crude oil. But, but yeah, it could pull back a little more, but I think the bottom's in. I'm not as sanguine on natural gas. There seems to be a lot of it around. There seems to be more of it. We just heard from Baker Hughes that they're seeing a lot more activity that is business for what they provide in the natural gas department. People are, and you can understand why, because now we can export liquefied natural gas, and even though the price of natural gas is low, people can still make money producing it. So I'm not that positive on the price of natural gas going higher, but I think that the price of crude could start to move. It just has to pull back a little bit more.
What about uranium? Is there much of a demand for that?
I knew you were going to ask about uranium. Look, I think I said for over a year I can't figure this market out. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it should do better. Now, the latest thing we saw is that the Western powers said they were going to stop using Russian uranium at all in any of their reactors. You would think that would light a fire into the market. It hasn't. I think because people know that Russia will find workarounds on that, just like it did on the oil export price caps, you know? So nothing seems to move that market right now. It should move. I mean, I swear to God, it looks like a pool of gasoline waiting for a match. But we haven't seen that match yet, so I don't know when it's going higher.
Sean, what else has caught your eye?
Gosh, there's so much going on. We're actually doing pretty well in tech lately. We have on semiconductor, stuff like that. And basically because it's due to the rise of the robots, rise of AI, rise of more robots used in industry because, you know, there are fewer workers. So we are seeing industries convert to robots as fast as they possibly can. There are still areas of strength in this market. I like that one quite a lot. It's actually doing pretty well for us. We're also doing things like some things with food, even though the prices come down. The problem in Ukraine, which used to be the breadbasket of Europe, hasn't been resolved. So I expect we'll have another problem there, along with the fact that the weird weather just plays hell with the poor farmers. So there's plenty of opportunities out there, but, you know, there's no rush to put capital to work, though I do think that if you don't have money in gold and silver stocks right now, you're probably raising your odds of missing the next big move. I'm not saying that the next big move is going to happen tomorrow, but it's coming soon. So pick a few, get yourself positioned for that, and just ride that when it comes. I think you can do very well there.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Hey, I had a great time. Thanks very much. Oh, and I'll be at the Las Vegas Money Show on Monday. I have two presentations, Monday and Tuesday. So any of your listeners are there, I hope to see them at the Las Vegas Money Show.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.